You're on Joy 94.9 and it's Sunday Arts Magazine with Brendan and David, and we're thrilled to have in the studio somebody very special, Brendan.
We are.
She's here for part of Melbourne Festival with an amazing story. I can't wait to hear about what she's here for. Sam Lowe, welcome.
Hello.
And you're here with a visual artist. You're a visual artist.
That's right.
And it's Game of Leaders. We'll get to that a little bit later. But we always like to start off with who you are and how you got to this moment in time.
Oh, right. It's a long story, like I told you.
Okay. We're here. We're ready.
All right. So, to be honest, I never started out wanting to be a visual artist. I have a diploma in food science and a degree in business management. So I pretty much didn't know what I was going to do in my life.
But that's often the case when you're younger, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, we all just got to find our bearings and after that just move in a direction that we feel is right.
Yeah.
And so, it all pretty much started for me in 2008, 2009, when I started this magazine that was a platform for Singaporean talent. And that started because it was like a reaction a lot of local creatives felt like they weren't being appreciated enough, and that's the reason why I created the platform. And it was through this platform that I started to interview them and got to know about the situation. And I was really moved and motivated by all this, and that was the reason why I turned to the streets to comment on this as well. So I kind of like did a lot of observations, and all these interviews, I broke it down to questions which I wanted to pose back to the public. And so one of the first things was, what is our culture? And because I felt these issues were very, it speaks to everybody, I wanted to use the streets as a medium to communicate this to them. And so I started taking back spaces using colloquial terms like press until shook. So in Singapore, shook means feel good.
Right.
So I used those traffic light buttons, and I pasted those stickers on them, in turn converting the whole space into an installation.
But are you allowed to do that?
No.
Because Singapore, we hear, are very strict on, like even chewing gum. Is that right?
Yeah, chewing gum is banned in Singapore. Yeah, we have quite a reputation.
So what happened? Did you get caught?
For the first year and a half, I did not get caught. I was very happily trolling the streets. But it was only like in 2012 that I got arrested for spray painting a couple of roads. I think that one kind of got me in a soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was tired of stickers, so.
Right, so you moved to the next stage.
Yeah.
So how tough did they make it for you?
I don't know. It was... Well, I mean, when you're doing stuff in the streets, you got to bear in mind that this is actually a consequence, especially doing it in Singapore as well.
Yeah.
But I think the difficult part was when they caught me, they came to my house. They never caught me red-handed, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got to my house.
How did they find you?
I don't know. That is the hard part, right? So 6 plainclothes police officers came to my place.
Yeah.
And they asked if I had anything to do with the road sprays. And yeah. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, do you share it on Facebook?
Ah.
And I'm thinking, oh, Facebook. So I don't really know exactly how, because I know that I wasn't the only one who shared the article on Facebook, because it was actually covered in the general media as well.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And next thing you know, I was sent to lockup, and I was there for about like 20 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually pretty okay. The max is like 48. So I think I got off quite okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But the whole thing just became this huge saga. When I came out of lockup, there was a lot of news. I mean, there was a lot of commotion around it, because a lot of people encountered these stickers in the streets.
Yep.
And they knew about this whole story.
Yep.
And that was when it started reaching out. And when I turned, and I remember like getting on Facebook and looking at it, and there were so many messages like pouring out saying, hey, you okay? Are you all right? You know, we're behind you. Don't worry. And the things that I don't know all of these people.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because Fantastic. It was able to resonate with them too, because they were able to see on the streets and they were exposed to it.
And do you think that sort of helped you to not let sort of fear set in at that point?
Yes.
You know, do you think there was two ways you could have gone at that point?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, before getting on Facebook and seeing all that, I was devastated. My family was devastated too. Mm. They're like, oh my God, you know, were you handcuffed in there? Get used to that. You know, it was just so harsh. It was really hard. I mean, I can totally understand that. But it was because of the support that it really helped my family and myself, like, get through it. And right. it was amazing. This is what, like, art can do. Or, like, you know, because you can relate to them. Yep. And they will feel, like, within their hearts, like, you know, hey, I don't feel like this is right. If this happens, we want to help. Yeah. And this is what it's about. Yeah.
So what's it like for you when you come to a city like Melbourne where there is graffiti and street art just everywhere?
So liberating. I'm still looking for a wall to paint.
So, you know, like, continue story. So obviously then that took you to another level with your art form.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So after that, I knew that I couldn't be on the street so much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, the case was concluded after a year. But the good thing is that I got a lot of commissions from there, right, which is pretty okay. cool. And yeah, it was because of that I thought, you know what, I'm going to put my other plans on hold and I'm going to focus on art making. I never went to art school or design school, so I never right. really knew how to draw or paint or anything like that.
Okay.
I only had like a little bit of a design background from what I taught myself how to do. And I spent the next few years just learning everything, sculpting, watercolor, spray painting, tattooing, stuff like that,
right.
to find the medium, because, you know, every artist has to have their medium, right?
Sure.
But I never really found a medium. You see, up to today, I can do a few things, but when it comes to what I want to say, I still have to find the right medium to say it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
I've noticed you've got a few tattoos. Is that a part of your art form?
Actually, my favorite artists are on my body.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like to support local tattooers as well. So whenever I go to a country, I try to get a tattoo from there. So it's like a little sticker book of my own.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you when all of a sudden you got invited to be part of Melbourne Festival?
It's out of this world. I never thought that I could show in a foreign country, a different country. Like outside Singapore, actually, because I always felt like I was still young in my practice.
Yeah.
But to have someone like believe in me to want to bring me to Melbourne Festival is a big thing for me.
We'll get to what it is, but the wonderful thing is that you're part of something that's built specially for Melbourne Festival, and you are aware of it. We're talking about M Pavilion, which is in Queen Victoria Gardens across the road from the NGV, mm-hmm. those gardens there. So that's where your piece is right at this very moment. And it's called Game of Leaders. Describe it to us.
So the Game of Leaders is, if you look at it, it looks very much like a game of Jenga, which it was what originally, it came from. However, each block has a trait of a first world city. So this entire block, imagine that as your first world city. It's your country. And each block, it says something like increase in GDP or like more skyscrapers, everything that constitutes a first world nation. And so there are a couple of ways you can play it, but you play the same way as you would Jenga.
Right.
So you can choose the blocks that you want to progress your city with. And let's say if I were to remove this block, it says, improve military, right? And so you put it on top, you're essentially progressing your city with better military.
Right.
And so you can actually make the morally conscious decisions of, like, you know, picking out, like, more scholars and stuff.
Yeah. But you're not doing it. You've walked away from it now.
That's right.
And the general public are the ones that are creating
That's right. And it's so interesting to watch because a lot of them try to make the good decisions, but they realize that they have to make the convenient decisions. So
it is quite political in a way, but also making people think about what their city is all about.
Yeah. I wanted to draw this bond or like this line, this parallel between us and also the people who make these decisions. Because, you know, it may be something as simple as a game. It may not be fully accurate or whatnot, but it was like an entry level point to have people be more exposed to what is around us. And that was the reason why I went with the games. And when I hope that in doing so, they would see that, you know, it's not easy being like the ones who makes the decisions as well. But at the same time, you know, there's a way to strategize as well. So it's all a matter of human nature. I mean, we're all bound by the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a thread that I was trying to pull.
And was it, when you were thinking of it, you know, the concept, did you think of it as a global piece that would work in any city that it was set up in?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I started out, it was very much a reflection of Singapore. Singapore in the last 50 years, we went from like developing to developed. And I'm someone who's very sensitive to my immediate surroundings. So when I create the work, I'm usually created for the people I'm immediately exposed to. And so that's why Singapore started as the first point. And then after that, I started seeing like different parallels. And that was really interesting because I could see that other countries who are also developed are going through the same thing, but a little bit more, you know. And so because of that, it was great that it was actually a global thing, something that we could all relate to. And it was very special.
And this is the world premiere.
That's
so
right.
You're actually seeing people, you know, like connect with it for the first time.
Correct.
And as I said earlier, it must be pretty exciting for you.
Very. It's mesmerizing. In fact, just watching people, like, you know, navigating the blocks and, like, strategizing. Like, it's so cool.
Fantastic. And you're part of Melbourne Festival, of course. You're at M Pavilion, which is in Queen Victoria Buildings, opposite the NGV. Have you been to the NGV yet?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
I checked out a Hokusai exhibit.
It's the most amazing place. Sam Lowe, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And welcome. Welcome to our fair city.
I love it. Love it so much.
You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine.